The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my just decrees. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You may be seated. St. Peter writes in the epistle reading for today, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." And so God lays this out here before you, showing the times in which you live. The end of all things is at hand, or as you often hear it referred to as the end times. So since the ascension of Jesus into heaven and until he comes again on the last day, the end times are at hand. Now the word that's used here for end is completion, fulfillment. So what does this all mean? Well, God warns you about the time that you are living in and who you are living in this world. But you see, he also comforts you as you live in these end days and look forward to the last day, ushering in the new creation. Now, in that gospel reading then, Jesus says something similar to the disciples in both a narrow way for them particularly and in a broad way for the church of God now. Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And when they do these things, because they have not known the Father, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." So now here the disciples are, as they're looking toward the events coming up and who they are and how they fit into all of this. And they hear these words of Jesus, and they were warned of what was to come. For them, they would see themselves put out of, or literally excommunicated from, the synagogues. Preaching Christ as the Messiah would bring about the ire of the Jews, even as they crucified the Lord himself. And yes, they themselves would also be killed for the sake of Jesus, all in the name of what their persecutors would think is good and godly. Yet when something is not of Christ, then the work is not good. It's not godly. Rather, it's far from it. But that warning of Jesus for them is also the same for you, as you hear these words sitting here many years later. Jesus said, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." Jesus doesn't want them to fall away from him as they experience these things. So when things get amped up and they're getting thrown out of synagogues, when they're being threatened, he doesn't want them to fall away. That's the danger for Christians. That's the danger for you as you go through this life in these latter days. Falling away from the faith, falling away from Christ, is a very real thing and not some pie-in-the-sky idea of it could happen, but you never ever see it. No, it's real, all right, and it's deadly. When you fall away from any other thing in life, the consequences are not eternal. You fall away from schoolwork, for instance, your grades suffer. Maybe your parents get mad at you. You fall away from practice for a sports team and you won't be as good as you could be or not get to play at all. You'll fall away from getting checked for your health and something treatable could go unnoticed. And if serious enough, you could die sooner rather than later. But when someone falls away from Christ, well, then there's everlasting suffering, condemnation, and hell are what is brought about. But I don't have to tell you, many of you, how real this is, as you only have to look at your own friends, your own family, to see this all too well and tragically, that yes, falling away from Christ, it is a real thing. Our sinful man and the devil, though, try to get us into a state of denial and not face these facts. We might want to think, well, there's still a spark there, or he or she believes or does such good things for people and cares so much. But then when we're honest with ourselves, we listen to the voices of our fallen hearts, but instead to the words of Jesus, which bluntly tells us, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's just one example among many. Now, Jesus didn't want his disciples to fall away, and he doesn't want you to fall away either. Jesus never causes anyone to fall away from the faith. Falling away, apostasy, is not God's work. It's our doing. We're perfectly capable of doing it ourselves, and we're very good at it. As you hear these words then, think about your life that God speaks to you and examine yourself. God calls you to think about these things seriously because there's nothing more serious. You are living in these end days, and the days are short. So what then does it look like to take this warning seriously of Jesus? Well, it's multifaceted, but it boils down to the fact that only Jesus keeps someone in the faith. So separate yourselves from Christ and you fall away. It's really that simple when you get to it. But we think it's more complicated. We think our lives are somehow special or our circumstances are somehow unique. But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible tells us. The devil is still prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So resist him. Don't reach your hand and try to feed or pet the roaring lion. Don't test. Don't tempt God to see how far you can go in your life where you can stop hearing his word, stop receiving his supper, stop coming to church, stop being hardened in your sin and thinking you don't need to repent. Don't do those things. It will never, never, ever end well for you. And in the epistle reading, you also hear these things. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So when you go out and are living in this world, don't be surprised when you come across ideas, institutions, and people who hate Jesus. That shouldn't surprise you. When times of trial come in these final days, don't let them sway you into sin and away from Christ. The call of Jesus is to pick up your cross and follow him. So as those voices grow louder, as they get bolder, as they try to entice and lure more and more against Christ and his church, listen and go back to the voice of your good shepherd and the words that you have as you have been called his own sheep. Because here's the interesting thing that Jesus tells the disciples. They would face these things even among the religious people of the day. They hated Jesus and his word. Now today, you most likely will not face these things in a synagogue like them, but you will face them as Jesus and his word is despised in the temples and synagogues of the world, found in workplaces, businesses, schools, places of government. So yes, don't be surprised when you are ostracized. Don't be surprised when you are unfriended, and not just on Facebook, and mocked all in the name of doing what their religion requires. So what is so offensive then? That they would do these things to the disciples and they would meet terrible, awful deaths, and even as you face persecution as well. What's so offensive? It's the gospel. That Christ would die for the sin of the whole world offends people, and that there is salvation in no one else. It offends those on the one hand who want to downplay sin and think they need no repentance, and it offends those on the other hand who are self-righteous and think there is a prerequisite before Jesus would forgive freely and fully, and that there's no caveat to that. So all of these things are around you, yet Jesus is preaching to you today. Cling to those words the past few weeks where Jesus had said, "Take heart, be of good courage, I have overcome the world." Because you see, in all of this, even as he was promising the disciples that this would happen, even as you're hearing this and seeing this warning, you see that Jesus is the victor. And on the final day, all his enemies will be at his feet as he has ascended at the right hand of the Father. And he comes again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. So see all those things rather and remember who you are as baptized children of God, which is what God calls us all to every day. Repent and crucify that old sinful flesh and the things which want you to fall away and are actively seeking to attack you. Instead, let your lives confess the one who alone is good and gives eternal life and peace. And so in those words of Jesus today, there are also words of great comfort. As you see yourself, you see the danger you walk in and the danger you are to yourself, and so you are as a sinner. But when you look to Christ, when you cling to him in faith, you have something very, very different. Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." So you see, as you're going through this world and as you're in these latter days, you're not alone. You're not unprotected. You have the Holy Spirit. He's at work. He bears witness about Christ. Jesus knew what the apostles and his church would face. But you see, he also knew who he is and what he does and what he gives, and who they are as his holy people. And you see, that's the thing then in all of this. It all depends on Jesus. It all depends on what he is doing even now. So you aren't left alone. The Holy Spirit is breathing out the word of God to you to hear and works the faith to believe it and gives you what it says. So as you go through this life, you have the whole armor of God as your clothing, which is to say you go through this life, through the end of all things, as the baptized people of God clothed with Christ. The church is eternal, and in Christ you have eternal life. So yes, take your eyes off Jesus, and you see sin. You see death. You see the devil all around you. Fix your eyes on Christ, your crucified, risen, and ascended Lord, however, and hear the word of him who says, "I forgive you. You are mine, and no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand." And you see, that's your help. That's your comfort today, dear people of God, and God won't let you forget it. As you cling to Christ, confessing your sin, hearing his word, receiving a supper, and having Christ and salvation given to you. And as for those who have fallen away, the Lord still speaks. He calls them out. He's the shepherd of his people. He is the one who has taken the sin of the whole world upon himself. This same Lord is the one who's also the compassionate father of the prodigal son, as Jesus teaches in Luke 15. The one whose son was lost, who was dead. But then he comes back as repentance was worked in him. And the Father rejoices. He throws a feast of thanksgiving when the wayward son returns. Because you see, your Lord, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's desire, God's pleasure is not for the death of the sinner, but that he turn from his way and live. So even when people fall away, the Lord is still there to welcome them back with forgiving hands marked with the holes of the price that he paid for their sin. His call is to return and to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. He is calling as his word goes out, and he is near as he has promised at his ascension, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's the message that you confess to those who have fallen away. You warn them bluntly in those vocations that God has given you to serve. You don't mince words, but you point them back to where redemption, eternal life, peace, mercy, steadfast love are found. They're found in Christ, and who gives it out in his church. So there is indeed great comfort today because Jesus is the faithful Son, even as he is the eternal God himself. Jesus didn't fall away. And baptized into Christ, you have his faithfulness counted to you. So as you go through this world, as you see these things around you, send the devil fleeing when he tries to lure you away. When sin entices you, look to Christ who gives eternal joy and pleasure beyond all comprehension, even now and will last forever. When apathy tries to overtake you, to think this stuff isn't a big deal or that you're really fine when it comes to the things of God, crucify those thoughts. Replace them with the new heart, the new mind that was prophesied in the old Ezekiel reading that you have in your baptism, that you sing about in a few minutes after the sermon, that loves the things of God, that would stop at nothing to receive them. That's the life that he gives, and it's way better because it's never ending. And even when death, yes, even when death itself looms over your head and stares its beady little eyes in your face, look it straight in the eye as the one who has the victory. For Jesus has destroyed death by his death. He is the one who was risen from the grave. And he is the one who says, you will rise from your graves as well. Dear saints of God, this is your confession today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Be bold in living this confession because Christ is yours and you are his. Take seriously the danger and warning of Christ, for it is very real. Listen to the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit who gives you salvation and keeps you in it as you have Jesus crucified and risen for you. Cling to Christ and be at peace even in this world because he is faithful for you and to you. You are baptized into Christ and he has acted for his name's sake to redeem you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. He has done it. He holds you tightly under the shelter of his tent now and forever. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.